we're going to be reading in Matthew. We know that that Easter is a time that we come together and we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we know last week the Lord blessed us to be able to preach on Mount Palm Sunday, but we're going to be today, if the Lord would allow, we're going to preach about some of the events that led up to that day when He raised. We know that that Jesus Christ raised from the dead because they killed Him, because they crucified Him on the cross. And we're going to preach about a particular man in the Bible that's not much said about. And we know that Hollywood made a movie by the name of Barabbas, and it's just by speculation that people can imagine what kind of man he was. And the movie, if I remember correctly, was about the man's life after he had been set free. And it's a movie that has a special a message to it, that this man's life was changed because Jesus was willing to die for him. But you know, we're going to begin to study and we're going to read today, and we're going to find out a little bit about Barabbas, and then as the Lord would allow, we're going to preach as the Lord would have us to. If you would turn Matthew, you can turn into the 27th chapter, and we're going to start at the 15th verse. And it says, "Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he had sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day, and a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather atonement was made, he took water, and he washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be upon us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. When he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. We were thinking this week about Barabbas. If it was just to read the Matthew account, we would know that he was a notable prisoner, that these people were not asking for someone that was a stranger to him, but that his, I guess you'd say, his reputation preceded him. If he was to look in the dictionary, you could see that notable is a remarkable, worthy of notice, memorable, observable, distinguished, or noted. Sounds like a pretty good word, doesn't it? Except when you place it in front of prisoner, or when you would place it in front of criminal. I would think that everybody would have a desire to be notable for something honorable, but here we find a man that was notable, that these people, when they were asking for Barabbas, it wasn't because they didn't know him, but because his reputation was very well known amongst that city. He was determined to mark. It said that he was laid bound with them that made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. If you was just looking in Luke, in the 23rd chapter, it called him a murderer for a sedition made in the city. Then in John, it calls him a robber. Then I begin to think about that, that here was a robber, but not only a robber, but a murderer. Not only a murderer, but one that attempted to overthrow the authority within that city. And I begin to think about, ain't that just
the way the devil is. No doubt. At some point in Barabbas' life, I have a child. Maybe he was just a petty thief. But we find out if you follow the wages of sin, they'll always take you further than you'll ever go. At some point, that petty thief turned into a robber. I don't know if he was a highwayman, but he got within the wrong crowd. And he become, as it were, if you could call it, an organized crime. Way back yonder, and we find him to the point that he got in a situation, and it said, due to the insurrection, that he killed a man, and we find him better in the prison than a man. No doubt, like a lot of men, when they find themselves in prison, they begin to reflect on their life. And I wonder if Barabbas weren't any different. And they begin to think about, what has become my life? I don't know. The city lay there in prison. I wonder why. It didn't say he was chained in prison. We know that back in those days, that prisoners don't have the rights that they have today. I reckon he lay there because there's no place to sit. He is in a dungeon. No doubt being beaten for those things that he had done. But we find him available to all men. People are well aware of what he done. And I don't know if he'd ever come in contact with Jesus until that day. Because Jesus come. Because he was there in front of Pilate. There was those asking that Barabbas might be set free because of this one called Jesus. All I can see as he come out that day from the dungeon into the light of those around about him. I wondered if he squinted from being so long in the prison. And he looked and they cried, "Give us Barabbas! Crucify Jesus!" I wonder if he could not even begin to comprehend what has this man done? Much greater than what I've done. After all, I tried to overthrow the authority. In my anger, I killed a man. No doubt some of the people there he'd even stole from. Him or one of his bandits. And they were saying, "Give us Barabbas! Give us Barabbas!" Man, and I no doubt started out life nothing more than a petty thief. And there he was to be crucified the day before. Talking about being worried. Talking about thinking about tomorrow's the day. And then because Jesus come there, he was set free. I wonder if he'd have thought, "Boy, I'm glad I'm not in his shoes. I don't know what he done to make him so mad, but I'm glad it's him and not me." Not knowing the one that took his place on the cross had never done one single sin in all of his life here on earth, but yet the one that's from everlasting to everlasting, a woman that never committed any transgression since before the beginning of time, a woman that never knew what it was like to be a robber, to be a thief, to be a murderer, to be a gangster. And there he was, suffering the death of a robber and a murderer. He was just glad to be set free. Well, if I remember the movie that Hollywood made about that, that at the end Barabbas turned his life over to the Lord, and I believe that he was even crucified. Well, listen, I want to tell you today, if Barabbas only seen a man that died in his place, I reckon he probably went on life sinning. Because there's been a many a person that has skirted the law There's been a many a man that's been able to get away around judgment. Be able to hire them a lawyer to get set free from the judgment of hand. But it didn't save them. Why? Because when they left that prison, they was the same person when they went in. But I want to tell you, if you would recognize Jesus as more than just a man that died on the cross, when you're set free from the prison that you're dwelling in, you'll be a changed man, because you'll be willing, as it says, if you will. We can turn over into Galatians, the second chapter, the 20th verse. We read this in Sunday school, and we're going to read the 21st with it. It says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Listen, if righteousness come by the law or any other way other than Jesus Christ, he had not to come. He wasn't Adam in there in the Garden of Gethsemane. The church, think about it now. I don't want to feel as if I'm here all alone. I need your prayers. Listen, the Lord came because there was no other way possible. I can remember, I guess it was about a year ago, we was in church and something was said about the Muslims, and there was a woman there. She was a Sunday school teacher. She said, "Oh no, I don't say nothing about other religions. After all, they might be right." Listen to me. Do you hear what she said? And there was any other way the Heavenly Father would send his Son to die for a robber, to die for a murderer, to die for me. And there was any other way he'd have made it. But because there was no other way, then that supreme sacrifice, Jesus Christ, the Holy Lamb of God, he had to come and he died. I'm afraid that's what the world wants today. They want a dead Savior. They want somebody to die in their place. But the Lord has gave us more than that. Aren't you glad? But he said to those that followed him, pick up your cross and follow me. Do you believe that Peter even began to comprehend what it meant to pick up his cross and follow Jesus Christ when he stood there that night and he denied Jesus? Why? Because he didn't want to pick up his cross and follow Christ, for Christ was about to be crucified. But aren't you glad that when Jesus came to him and he said, "Peter, lovest thou me?" And Peter, in his anguish and frustration, because how do you tell somebody you betrayed, you're sorry? We know that Peter loved him. That Peter jumped from the boat to go see him. But sometimes, because of our betrayal, we hope that our actions of affection somehow voice the words for us. us. But Jesus asked him, Peter, lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, you know. And then Jesus began to tell him the death he would die. Why? Because Peter had picked up his cross and followed Jesus. He had surrendered himself. And that's what the Lord wants today of me and you. Daryl, I don't want to die. You can't live, the Bible says, without your first dying. You got to lay down this body. I speak in the spiritual sense today. You got to lay down your will. You got to lay down your pride. So many people today determined in their mind, I'm going to stop cussing. I'm going to stop doing this or that on a regular basis. And I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to surround myself with good people. And then, because of osmosis, because maybe some of their goodness will rub off on me. But I want to tell you, there's some churches you can go to. And if you're in an out-and-out sinner, after running with them a while, you will be. Why? Because they've not raised in Christ Jesus. They've not been born again. Have you been born again? Or are you as Barabbas? Set free from your prison. But not yet set free from yourself. My Jesus died in order. The Bible says there is no remission except for the shedding of blood. Jesus had to die and shed all that blood in order that I might have life. But I want to declare to you today that there is a Christian today, not just because Christ died for me, but because I serve a living Savior. I have the love of God in my heart today, but not because God died, but because He lives. I can live in Him. He can reign in me. And I'm glad of that, aren't you? I'm not preaching perfection here. For I know, though we are in the flesh, yet just today, that we will stumble and fall. But because Christ lives, when I fall, glory to God, He will pick me up. When I sin, and I repent to Him, He will forgive me. Not because I pray to one, and someone have hanging in the church, a Savior on the cross. I pray to one that's standing outside the tomb. The tomb is empty, so therefore we can glory in the Lord. Have you been crucified? As the story is portrayed in Hollywood, I believe He was crucified there at the end. Barabbas. Well, I do know one thing. If Barabbas made it into heaven, he had to do just as Paul said in Galatians in the second chapter, the 20th verse, and reach out and go to the cross and crucify His will, His pride, His stubbornness right there, and surrender all and say, Lord, just as Lazarus lay dead, stretch out and say, I am nothing without you. I need you, Lord, and I need that comforter that abides inside. Aren't you glad how the Lord keeps all of His word? He did not just come to tell the disciples that He was going to die for the sins of the world, But he spoke to them as he spoke to Mary, and he said, "I am the resurrection. Aren't you glad that he keeps that word? Aren't you glad that when Lazarus was there, all he had to say was, 'Come forth.' That's all he's got to say today. Hey, if you're still dead in your sins, maybe you have the Lord as an acquaintance. Don't you imagine? That's what Barabbas seen him as. Maybe somebody, I don't know where Barabbas lived or where his hideout was, but don't you imagine that somebody come and told him that man because you got set free, that Jesus, he hung on the cross. Do you remember the darkness, Barabbas, and the trembling of the earth? It was when he died, the man that died in your place. And no doubt, Barabbas, maybe he said in his heart, 'I sure wish I knew a little bit more about him, for surely he was better than me. One, as I looked at him there, was offering not up a defense, but when I was arrested, I cursed. In the insurrection, I even killed a man in order that I might obtain freedom. Are you there today? Are you like Barabbas, trying to overthrow the powers to be, thinking within yourself, I can be a little bit better. I want my freedom. There is no freedom to be had outside of Jesus Christ. Everything else is vanity. And listen to me now. Don't be as he was. And have Jesus simply as an acquaintance. And I have Jesus. Listen to me. The Bible teaches me that Jesus died for the sins of the world. The Bible teaches me that whosoever will, let him come. Are you standing at the threshold? Are you leaving? And we don't know. Maybe Barabbas didn't flee, but he was there in the crowd. I don't know. I would find it hard to believe him being so callous. Maybe he was there in the crowd and he thought to himself, "Oh, what an opportunity. The city's in an uproar. Maybe I can pick a pocket or two." And he stood off in the distance as he seen Jesus carry his cross, as he seen the soldiers beat him, the stripes that rightfully belonged to him. But yet, Barabbas wasn't free from himself, even though he was set free from an earthly prison. Maybe you too, for whatever reason, have been set free from the circumstances that you find yourself in. I know of men that have been set free from great illnesses. I know a one that had lung cancer in particular, that he had a portion of his lung removed, that he's had a heart trouble many a time, and just as Barabbas, he was set free from the situation at hand. But that man's heart is still left unchanged. Oh, why? Because he looks at Jesus Christ as nothing more than one that died for the world. But if we could see him as one that is a risen Savior, one that is truly not a notable prison, but a notable man, worthy of all praise, remarkable in every aspect, but yet died a sinner's death, bore the sins of the world. You could just think about that for a moment. You know, I can remember as a kid some of the things that I've done and the lies that I felt that I needed to tell in order to get out of the trouble that I was in. And I can remember the weight of the guilt of it all, of the weight of my sin upon my chest.
Listen to me. That is minimal compared to no doubt the weight that the Lord felt when He hung upon the cross. When they seen Him there, stooped over. No doubt there was some that looked and they thought, my goodness, He is so quick to succumb to the crucifixion. It must surely be because of the beating that He received. It was the weight of the sin that He bore for me and you that drove those shoulders down with those arms outstretched. It was because of what me and you done. It was because we were to be numbered with those that said, let this sin be upon us and our children, as it said here, as we already read it. I've heard some say, let His blood be on us and our children. I've heard some say, that's why the Jews, they were cursed. That's why they couldn't see the Lord for who He is. Listen, His blood is on all of us, Jew and Gentile. And the only way to escape from that death sentence, because Barabbas was set free from the execution that day, yet Barabbas still died. And the only way he was set free from the blood of Jesus Christ shed there at the cross is to accept Him and to accept Him as our risen Savior. We live in a culture today that so many people want to emphasize, just take the Lord, accept His atonement on the cross, and you can go and live a changed man. But yet they go and their life is not changed. I declare to you that you must die. You must pick up your cross and follow Him and be crucified with Him. Are you willing to be His Mary and those that gathered around the cross and looked up to their Savior and say, Lord, I should be up there? Are you willing to surrender everything so that the next time the flesh says, go and do what you want, you say, no, because Jesus Christ is alive and living in me, I'll do what He wants. And if you can, and if you will, you'll find that your life will be drastically changed. An utter statement at best. But listen, I'm here to tell you, if there was any way other than the way made, Paul said, if righteousness could be obtained through the ceremonial law of Moses, Christ Jesus would not have come, needed to come. That is, crucifixion and death and resurrection is in vain. But I'm here to declare to you, it's not in vain, for it is the only way. And though there would be some that would say, well, I know that you've got to come, that you can't believe in idols, and you can't be as the Buddhist, and you can't be as the Muslim who is motivated by hatred, and that they're proselytizing. It's either you confess Muhammad who was a prophet and swear homage to Allah or we'll kill you. That's how they win converts. And you might understand in your Western mind that is wrong. Listen, it ain't no different. If you said, all I've got to do is be good. All I've got to do is go to church every now and then. All I've got to do is believe on something that took place in the past to cure me of my present situation. I'm still yet unwilling to be crucified in Him. Well, then what you are declaring to the world, but more importantly to God, is that His death on the cross and His resurrection were in vain. Because see, though there are literally thousands upon thousands that want to claim
Christ's death on the cross. And they are unwilling to accept the living Savior in their heart. They want to be as Barabbas was and have Jesus as an acquaintance. A one we see across the courtyard. One there in chains, ready to die for our sins. I don't know if Barabbas ever had a desire to get to know the man that died in his place. But in order that he would go to heaven, that's exactly whom he must have been much more than acquainted with. But he must look to him as his Lord and Master. Have you looked to Jesus Christ and simply want him as an acquaintance? Are you as the Jew was, and you simply want him as a lamb to take to the priest to be offered for you so that you might go and live your life unchanged? But Jesus Christ came because there was no other way in which men might be saved. Jesus Christ came so that we might have life in Him. Of all the people that have been set free from prison, how many of them were truly set free from themselves? I'm told that was the purpose a lot of times in the past. I don't know so much about today in our prison system, but they were incarcerated in order that they might be educated to the extent to see that their crimes in a free society are not acceptable, and that they might be rehabilitated and not just incarcerated. And that when they would leave, that their experience behind those prison bars might be for the better. I forget the statistics of it all, but it is just astounding how many people that are in state and federal prisons that are repeat offenders. Why? Because they left prison, set free from the walls of a physical prison, but yet not set free from the prison within. Have you been set free from certain circumstances in your life that still yet live in the chains of sin? Well, I want to tell you about my Jesus. He not only died for you, but He lives today for you. He not only died and rose for you, but as He told the disciples that He would send a Comforter. And just as all the other promises that He made, this one too He kept. And we have a Comforter that in a world that is truly comfortless, we can have one that will comfort us, strengthen us, encourage us, and yes, at times, reprimand us. And we have all of these things, not because Jesus died, but because He lives. Because He died and He shed His blood that washed away me and your sin, if you've asked Him to and put your faith in Him. This is something that is so wonderfully great. But why Daryl is not in a physical prison today is not simply because Jesus Christ died, but it's because He's alive.
because that Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and still yet speaks to my heart. I can remember when I've mentioned this in the past, I was raised in a Christian home, but because hatred had filled my heart, and no doubt much like Barabbas's, I seen a woman, and because of what she had done to her family, I had a hatred for her and the place that she worked and everything about her because of the hurt that I had experienced in my own family. And I had a desire not to take the life of this woman because that would be ungentlemanlike. That's how warped and twisted a sin will take you. I thought it'd be awful to kill a woman. And I knew that the Bible said that I couldn't murder nobody. So I had every intention down there at the Conowingo Dam. I seen them there camping. And I went back and I got my pistol. And I had every intention of shooting her husband in the spine, not to kill him. But that she would suffer like I had suffered. As we all know, of those that have been with those with chronic pain do suffer. And I can remember going back there to that dam, and I had the pistol under my seat. But because Jesus Christ lives, it was speaking to my heart. You know, I never did find them. I don't know. I have to attribute that to God as well, because had I seen them, I don't know that I would abstain from what I was doing. But because Jesus lives, I could stand here today. Because at some point, shortly thereafter, that hatred and that desire for revenge, I just couldn't bear it any longer. And I didn't go and place it at a tomb. I didn't go and pray to a great dead Savior. Say, Jesus, all that you spoke about when you were alive is so true. But he come to me at my heart's door because he's alive. And he said, Daryl, don't you want to lay down that sin? I'm alive. Daryl, don't you want to live in me? And because he's alive today, I can stand. Aren't you glad we serve a risen Savior? Aren't you glad that the tomb was not rolled away so that the women might go and anoint his body? For surely, if he was the Son of God, surely his dead body should have been adorned like no man on earth. But the stone was not rolled away so that Mary Magdalene and the others might go and anoint his body with spices and reflect on all that he spoke about. But the stone was rolled away because he was alive, because he was the Son of God, and he keeps his word. And he said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it again in 3 days. And he did. And because he did, I can stand today and shed tears of joy that I'm not in a physical prison, that I lay not with my companions as Barabbas did, but that when he set me free of the spiritual prison that I was in, and that he walks with me daily, he'll walk with you. Let's get some song to sing. Thank you.
soon will take you farther than you ever thought you'd go. Just like old Barabbas. Man that started out as a thief and a robber became a murderer. I can remember when I turned my back on the Lord, I thought I wasn't going to be a drunk. I wasn't going to be as some of my relatives and be murderers, to brawl and beat people up. Within the short period of 3 months, I was sneaking alcohol right in my parents' own home. Sin will take you much farther than you'll ever want to go. And if you're here today without the Lord, you need to seize the opportunity, because you have no promise. And just as I talked about a man had open heart surgery when he was 36, and he said the downside of that is that when you have it so young at 36, that you're most likely going to have it again. See, he was taking it for granted. A man that is in his 40s now, but he was just taking it for granted because he had had open heart surgery when he was so young that obviously we all think we're going to live a long life. So in order for him to live a long life, that he was going to no doubt have to have open heart surgery again. He just took it all for granted that he was going to wake up in the morning. Let us not be so foolish as to think that we have a promise for tomorrow. Us that are born again know that to be absent from the body is to be with Christ Jesus. But if you have not Savior, and to be absent from the body is to dwell in the prison. And a prison as the rich man did, desiring that Lazarus might dip his finger in a pool of water, so that he might just get a drop of it on his tongue. Go ahead. Have you experienced the Lord as an acquaintance? Have you looked across the courtyard at him and said, "My, what a holy man. Wonder why he's so beaten." Have you looked and said, "He really looks like a kind man. He's so good, but yet you only see him from a distance." Well, my Savior died for you. So that you might truly live in him. He raised so that he might go to the Father and intercede for us. Aren't you glad that we have an intercessor that's alive? I don't want to diminish how wonderful it is to have Jesus as an acquaintance. For it has many benefits over being a total stranger from Him. You know, there's a benefit of turning one's life around, as the world might say, turning over a new leaf. I've heard of men quit their drinking and their drugs, and they've done it through the power of willpower, if you would call it that. They get married and start having children, and they come to church, and one could see the benefits of being acquainted to Jesus. After all, under those circumstances, you won't wake up drunk in a gutter somewhere. Most likely you won't catch AIDS from a dirty needle. You won't catch some STD from cheating on your wife if you would choose to get married. There is many benefits from being an acquaintance to the Lord. But if you would just accept Him as your Savior and see Him as not only a Savior but a risen Lord, I cannot put into words or express the wonderful benefits of having Him as a personal Savior. I've read the passages in the Bible that speak about heaven. The Lord has blessed me a few times to preach on the splendor in heaven. But I don't think that any of us that are here, that are born again, that have Him as the risen Savior and Lord, can fully comprehend the benefits of such. I can't wait to see the color of grass in heaven. You know, the Bible says that there's gates leading outside the city. And to me, there is no prettier color of green than that tender green of spring. And I look forward to seeing the grass. And a lot of people might find that humorous. But when you think of all the beauty, and maybe at that time I will find it humorous as well, once I've seen the splendor of the city, but I just can't wait to see the fields and the streams. One that flows from the throne of God. You know, I only imagine that there will be birds in heaven. And these birds in this world, Daddy, we was out working cattle yesterday, and there's several Martin houses all around there. And they sing. I mean, this is just the time. Yesterday was a beautiful day, and they was all just singing so pretty. And they were turning up their head to the sky, being so obedient, doing what the Lord had created them to do. And I can only imagine that there's birds in heaven, and how they must sing when they see the face of my Christ. How we will sing. And I'm looking forward to that day. And I want Him much more than just an acquaintance. My prayer is that you might as well.